Broadcasting live from the Cobb Business Radio X studios, it's time for the Owner's Manual. Brought to you by two Zaxby's locations in Marietta, Lower Roswell Road and South Marietta Parkway.
Good morning. This is John Silvey with the Owner's Manual. I am here with Sonia Heck from Spot On Consulting. Can you tell us a little bit about your business, Sonia?
Yes, John. Thanks for having me today. I do run a Spot On Resumes and Consulting. Started the company in 2009, essentially after I was laid off from a high-level management position. I've always been a writer. I've always loved to write. Used to write resumes for friends, families on the side, and then people would say, you know, you should do this for a job. So when the opportunity arose, when I was let go, I was actually relieved and decided I would start that day.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So tell us how you got into doing what you do.
Okay. The first thing I did was research what other resume writers are doing, went to different websites, looked at pricing, types of products, services. I started creating some examples. I built a website, worked with a friend and built a website, and then started slowly getting involved in Google AdWords to get my name out, updated my LinkedIn profile, got some business cards, told everybody what I was doing, got a business name, registered it, got a business account, a business card. A business card meaning a business credit card, so I could have those expenses separately. So just essentially everything you might do for a larger business, just smaller scale. I wanted to. You have to be very organized when you start a new business.
So if somebody's out there and they want to start a small business, and they're thinking that they want to do this, and you list all the stuff that you did, what's the cost in that? What's the cost from going from where you were to nothing? Mm-hmm. To where you are now, like to a startup?
Well, in my case, it was really inexpensive. It was just a matter of getting a business name and registering it, opening up a bank account, credit card. I would say just a few $100s. But see, I work from home and I mm-hmm. don't have any staff except my husband helps me. But working from home meant that I didn't have to get secure another location and the rent and all of that. So if you're able to start a business from home, you have extremely low overhead, and it's a lot easier than, you know, opening up a restaurant, for example, with all the expensive equipment involved. So, I mean, I already had a computer, a printer, so it's really just a few $100s. It was an easy thing to try.
Okay.
For me.
So let's delve into a little bit of what you do and how everything affects that. So over the past decade, how has the job market changed?
Well, I think the biggest change is how much social media plays a part in looking for a job. I mean, I have a lot of clients who are in their 40s and 50s, and some also younger ones as well. And the people who are 40s and 50s didn't have to use social media. I mean, they used to walk into companies with a resume and often have the opportunity to speak with someone right then. They weren't competing. They used to look for jobs in the Sunday paper and,
right,
you know, circle something. Now a lot of jobs are found on Indeed and LinkedIn and Career Builder and other sites like that, and there might be 200 or 300 people going for each job. So the competition is much stronger than it used to be, and companies now take a greater interest into what people are posting, their personal brand, whether that's Facebook, their LinkedIn profile, Twitter. So I always tell people to make sure that they lock down their Facebook. No one should be able to look at your family pictures and your comments about, you know, religion or politics. It's just not, you know, appropriate for the workplace. So the way I put it to them is, if you're not willing to print all of this out and bring it to an interview, then shut it down. I mean, most people should just shut down their social media while they're looking for a job. And it's not just young people. Young people kind of grew up on social media, so you mm-hmm. would think that they would be worse, but it's oftentimes people in the 40s, 50s who post everything.
Okay.
So just Be aware of that.
Well, speaking of social media, do you see a preference with job applicants or actually companies that are hiring? Do you see a preference on what they look for as, you know, which social media that they look for more on?
Well, most positively, it would be LinkedIn. And I've seen more and more companies, when they post their jobs, they want you to apply on LinkedIn, via okay. LinkedIn. So this way, they get to see your profile, your picture, and...
It's a little bit more detailed on LinkedIn.
Well, it should be. I mean, some people just cut and paste their resume over, which I think is a mistake. I mean, it's better than nothing. At least mm-hmm. at least they're out there. But they're looking for, like my profile, for example, talks about my passion, and I'm so lucky to do a job that brings me so much joy. And just talking about all the types of different people I've helped. So if you read my profile, or anyone's profile, you should be able to get a feel of what's behind that person. It's not just all business. You can get a little bit more personal on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the important part. They get to see kind of beyond the facts and figures of a resume. So with that in mind, it's important to have a good profile and a decent picture. Don't take I see a lot of people who put no effort into the type of picture they put out there on LinkedIn. They take a picture that's cropped off, you know, they've got someone's arm around their shoulder or something like that, or badly lit with the red eyes. I mean, it's just, this is the first impression that a company's going to have about you, about a candidate. So it doesn't mean you have to get a professional picture taken because that's expensive, but get someone to take a picture of you against a plain wall and post that. That would be sufficient. Also, since a lot of people want you to apply on LinkedIn, they want to see if you have recommendations. That is huge. You know, on a resume and cover letter, we, in essence, boast about how great we are for this role. But that's one thing. But if other people are saying it about you, it just holds that much more weight. So even if someone's a student, let's say just getting out of school, they'll have limited chance to get recommendations, but they can ask a professor. They can ask the person they tutored. They can ask a part-time, maybe they worked at Zaxby's for the summer. Maybe you'd write them a review. So sometimes you're limited on the types of reviews, but everybody should have them.
Okay. So let me ask you this. What type of specific things can certain people do, like anybody over 40 or somebody who is a student or okay. a former stay-at-home parent, what can they do to increase their visibility or increase their chances of possibly getting an interview?
Okay. Well, for the younger folks, it's definitely, clean up the Facebook profile, take all the party pictures off, but also learn how to speak clearly. I have found with a lot of my younger candidates, they slur their words, they're not saying thank you, they almost sound like disinterested mm-hmm. in a call, and that's the first impression, and most times employers will have a phone call first. And if you can't pass that test, you probably won't come back, regardless of your GPA.
I've had some of those.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter whether you're an engineer or a business student, a marketing person. You have to be able to communicate with people. So that would be really important for the 20-something year-olds, and also to have some sort of part-time work, maybe a lab assistant, student assistant, and volunteer work. I think volunteer work is important for everyone. For a stay-at-home parent, they may have a gap of 10 or 15 years in some cases. So during that time, I always like to point out the leadership roles they've held, whether it's in their communities, in their church, in their schools. Many of these parents served as a school assistant, or they've done fundraising, they've sat on the PTA board. So we try to make a connection of what the skills they learned there, networking and relationship building, because those are applicable across a lot of jobs. For the 40-plus people, I think the biggest mistake is coming right out and saying you have like 20 or 30 years experience as your first line. Companies aren't asking for that much. You might ask for 5 or 10 plus. So just say 10 plus and focus on the last 10 or 15 years. Otherwise, you're going to have too much stuff on a resume going back till the 80s, which really is not that important to someone because they want to know what you've done lately. And they need to keep in mind, especially older applicants, is that a resume isn't everything you've ever done. It's just highlights. So if you have a couple of 4-month jobs that you had to take, you don't have to list them. You know, I always go by the year to year instead of like May 2008 to June 2009. I do 2008 to 2009. So it could look like 2 years. You can kind of hide a multitude of sins that way. But for all groups, network, tell people, tell everyone you know you're looking. A lot of jobs are not posted. So get involved in the community. Reach out to people. Ask for recommendations. But definitely, I think what's important is the community involvement, to get involved and get out there and start meeting people. It'll do you some good. Plus, it helps the people that you're helping. Plus, it may lead to something better.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. As an employer, I get resumes and applications with individuals who may have had a month of work here or a month of work here. What would you suggest for people with shady employment past?
Well, in that case, I would not list each one of them. Again, if you go to the year to year, you might be able to hide a few. That's never going to be an attractive trait to see someone jump job after job. But if you don't list all of them, it helps a little bit. Or you can say something like, if they were a server, multiple locations, and do like a 2-year span, multiple locations, and say, you know, worked at Zaxby's, Chipotle, and a couple, and then focus on the customer service part. But people who do jump from job to job, they will have more difficulty, and they need to focus on something and
figure out what they want to do and do that. Okay. So let me ask you this. Let's say that somebody lost their job or left because of, you know, whatever circumstance, and it's hard for them to find a job. How do they stay motivated?
Okay, that's probably the toughest part, because I think when you get laid off or lose your job, all of a sudden it looks like everybody in the world is employed but you.
Right.
I mean, you go out there and you apply for jobs and you're not getting them, and it's really easy to feel depressed or worthless, especially if you're a little bit older. That, again, is where community service comes in. Get involved in the community. Help someone that's less fortunate than you. And I think that will help you network. Take an extra course. I mean, there's a website called Coursera.org, which is a website that shows courses, and they're free, from schools such as Harvard, MIT, UCLA, all the top schools in the country. These are free courses. You don't get credit. You don't get tests. But I think it would be a great way for someone to learn new skills, be introduced to new concepts. And you can actually put that on a resume. I mean, it's not credit courses, but I think it would be interesting to see that. If I saw that someone was taking operations management courses at UCLA online, I'd probably want to speak to them, show something different.
Okay. You
could pick up a language course, a Spanish course, something that would help you.
That would help, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what are some of the new screening tools that are used by some of the companies to identify candidates nowadays?
Okay, the big one is called Applicant Tracking System, an ATS. What that is a company will put in keywords, and it'll be the keywords they're looking for in their job. So let's say they're looking for a financial manager. So financial manager, analysis, banking, financial services, all these keywords. So if you look across a bunch of similar jobs, you'll see a lot of the same words appear. So you need to make sure that those jobs that are under the required section appear in your resume, not just once or twice, but, you know, three times, perhaps in the opener, in a key skills section, in your LinkedIn profile, in a cover letter, so that the person feels that you've addressed that. Just all the person wants to know, the employer just wants to know, can you do this job? So by addressing the skills that they're asking for, you're telling them that, you know, yes, yes, you can. The problem with applicant tracking systems is that they can also eliminate people. So unfortunately, if they ask if a degree is required and you don't have one, you're not going to pass that screen. So it allows you to take hundreds of resumes and get you down to maybe 30 or so more serious applicants.
Okay.
So just make sure you read the requirements. It's nice to have them. Requirements are different. So, and just go for things that you're going to get, that you have a chance to do.
We're going to go back to the social media part because, I'm big on social media. So, that kind of hits home for me. So when an applicant is on social media, what can turn an employer off besides pictures and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. What can turn an employer off just by searching the applicant's social media?
Well, one of the easiest things to change, and people don't even really think about it, is a vanity email address. It drives employees crazy, like number1fan.com or the really old Yahoo email addresses with the underscores and the mm-hmm. you know, the caps and all of that. So try to get an email address as close to your name as possible, and don't put your age in it. People over 40 always want to put their age in there, and it's like, well, you just told someone you're 60 or 50. Just so mine is soniaroseheck@gmail.com, as close to my name as possible. Mm-hmm. Makes it easier to remember when someone's typing it back. Other social media, well, certainly the pictures and the posts. And it's not also what you post, is what others post about you. So go out there and check to see what pictures you're tagged in and ask that person to remove you. So just the number and the frequency. If that person has a job and it's showing that they post all day long, if they're currently in a role and they can and the employer can identify that they spend pretty much all day long on Facebook, they probably won't hire you.
Because you're on Facebook at work.
All day long, yeah. Yes. Or you're making fun of your employer or making fun of other people. Obviously, like, off-color jokes are, don't do that. So those are some things. But the easy ones, like the email address, you can change that right away. Let's see. And then, of course, the big one is networking. Big way to get a job is networking. LinkedIn has a number of jobs, including Atlanta jobs, but there are job groups within any industry, whether you're in retail, whether you're in food service. Join those groups, and you can see some discussions. Add to the discussions. Just don't like them, but make a comment or post your own discussion. What that does is the next time a company is looking for a restaurant manager, they'll put in restaurant manager, and because you've had some activity on your profile, and you've posted likes and also some comments, maybe your own articles, you're going to show up higher in the search. And that's really important. It's kind of like a Google search in a sense. You want to show up as high as possible so that you show up as one of the top five candidates. People who have done that have a better chance of getting hired as well, since 97% of recruiters use LinkedIn as their number one tool. So they're all kind of tools. Have a great resume. Have practice how to speak on a call. Have a great LinkedIn profile. Get reviews from people that you know. Ask everyone you know for help. Network, join groups, and definitely volunteer in the community. You'll feel so much better, and people will think of you better as well.
Okay. So is it possible to gain new skills if you, if you are let go from one type of industry and you may not want to go back to that industry? Is it, mm-hmm. Are you able to gain skills to go into a different industry?
Yes. I mean, KSU has a great number of special adult education type programs, but they include social media, real estate, accounting, bookkeeping. And some of these courses, you know, they range from a couple of hundred to a couple of thousand, but in most cases that is tax deductible. And it also, on your resume, it would show up really well that you've acquired a new skill set. I mean, you can also pick up a used tape on a Facebook page, a yard sale page, and learn Spanish. I mean, there are a lot of things you can do on your own. And it's not that people are so much afraid to hire more experienced people. It's that they feel that they might not have kept up with the skill set. So show them that you have. I mean, start a blog or, you know, volunteer in groups that are industry specific.
Let me ask you this. We talked last week about the struggles and the highlights of owning your own business. So for you, what was the most difficult resume that you had to do? And then what was the easiest or the best highlighted resume mm-hmm. that you've had to do?
Probably the hardest one was actually just a couple of months ago. I had a parent who was presenting their child with a resume upon graduation. And the person was a piano tuner, which is just an interesting job choice. And I knew nothing about a piano tuner, so it took me literally hours to research what that meant. And he didn't have an existing resume, so it was just, usually I have an existing resume, so I have something to kind of to build on. But it was from scratch and just researching the school he went to, which ended up being a highly influential school that was, you know, really expensive, and just the creme de la creme mm-hmm. piano tuners, and just the different types of work he did. And of course, all his other jobs were interesting too. He was a bell ringer, a choral director. So that one was difficult in terms of time because I had never worked with someone. But I've actually worked with an ex-NBA player, which I thought was really interesting because I had to merge his athletic talent, and he had traveled around the world in different leagues to his new employment. He was selling cars. So just kind of building the two and how he could move into management because of that. And then I've had a couple of Emmy Award winners and a Grammy winner. So towards the arts again, which is, it's hard to, I mean, you would think that you could just put Emmy Award winner on the top of a resume and that would be it, right? I mean, yeah. Because so few people can say that, but there's a whole story behind that. So that's the best part, is because I think everybody has a story to tell. And people, especially women, shortchange themselves on resumes so much that it's just participated or responsible for instead of led or brought in this much money. It's always like, well, I was just a part of it. It's like when you speak with them and they were a big part of it.
Right.
So I try to make people, I think the biggest compliments I can get is that I helped someone rebuild their confidence. That's just really important to me, especially if they've lost their job.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you send in, if you do a resume really well and you send it in and, you know, they're not feeling, you know, high about themselves, but then they get that interview and they're able to talk about themselves with what's on that that resume, then they're like, you know, they click,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's bringing out the stuff that they did and that they were happy about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big thing. So, yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
I always need to remind people that if someone calls you for an interview, they want to talk to you.
Right.
Right? They already right. want to talk. They want you to do well. There's no one that interviews you hoping you'll do badly.
Exactly. They wouldn't want to waste your time or their time.
Right, right. And one of the unique things I do is I write a thank you letter after the interview. So I get to speak with someone, and I hear about what went well, what didn't go well, what did you forget to say. That's a big one, because everybody always walks out thinking, you know, I wish I'd said this. So it gives us an opportunity to wrap up the conversation, leave on a good note. And I write a lot of those, so I know that people are really successful right now.
Good. So let's talk about your services. Let's talk about what you do, how much you know, what your range is, mm-hmm. and for what you do.
Okay. I pride myself on being less than half the cost of other people in the Atlanta area, even though I have higher reviews. I have 100 on Kudzu, 5-star, and 70 on LinkedIn. I would say I started about 100, and that would be like a one-page student type resume, and that includes a cover letter and a thank you. On the higher end, it would be like 275, and that would be a senior level, a person that makes in the six figures. So it depends on length, on difficulty. If I'm doing, last week I did one for a husband and a wife, so I gave them a special deal. I think about, you know, I also like to help people who really can't afford me. So I've been known to do a couple free for homeless women or women in transition, helping them gain some confidence and turn their spotty resumes into something more professional. So I really, at the end of the day, I want you to work with me, and I will try whatever I can to give you pricing that matches in your budget. I mean, my way of thinking, if I can get you in a job even one day quicker, it makes up for it. In some cases, and for some of these higher level people, it would be an hour quicker.
Right.
It would make a difference.
So you touched on it a little bit. So I'm really big in the community, and we're really, really involved. So what do you do for the community, for your business and for yourself, that you'd like to share with everybody?
Okay. Well, I do work with a group called Filling the Gap, and they provide temporary services to, it's mainly women who live in transitional housing. They haven't gotten their food stamps yet, which takes about a month. So they're living in a hotel environment, often with several kids. So they have a lot of difficulty making ends meet for that first month. And so I help them to bring them food, coordinate clothing, and then I help them. I write the resumes at no cost. So that way we can get them, and I speak with them about the professionalism and showing up on time and all that. I'll send them jobs that I think that are a good fit in their community. And then oftentimes, and I do this for both the people-related and pet-related charities, is that if anyone's ever having a fundraiser, I'll offer up a free resume package that they can auction up. Auction off. And I've heard that they get about $150 for that. So, and then I'll do the resume. It's a resume, cover letter, thank you letter.
Okay.
I like to do things like that.
All right. Well, let's bring it back around. Tell us your website. Tell us your name again, and mm-hmm. any other information that you'd like for everybody to know.
Okay. Well, my name is Sonia Heck, H-E-C-K. My website is spotonresumes.com, named after my rescue dog, Spot. My phone number is 404-983-1154. I do tend to work every day, so I know people can't always speak from work, so I have nighttime calls as well. I work 100% from my home. I don't meet in person, so that allows me to keep my costs low. I always provide a free review, and I'm not what I consider a pushy person. I mean, I'd love you to work with me, but I'm always willing to speak with you anyways and offer you advice and articles and so forth that will help you. So I hope that some of the listeners here give me a call, take a look at my website, take a look at my reviews, and read what others are saying about me.
Okay. Well, thank you, Sonia, for being here. We greatly appreciate it. Make sure that you follow Sonia or go to our website and give her a call. If you're looking for a resume, make sure you follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, Zaxby's 2080 LRR or Zaxby's 591 SMP. Thank you for joining us, where we spotlight the small business and franchisees of Cobb County.
This show is brought to you by Zaxby's. Indescribably good, your resource for any catering needs. Learn more at zaxbys.com.